and lets them know in verse 11 of Romans chapter 15 that they can praise the Lord as well. He said, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles. And we get down to verse 13. It says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I want to preach to you tonight on Holy Ghost power. I know for a long time we hear out of people that Baptists are afraid of preaching and getting into the Holy Ghost. I got news for every charismatic, holiness, Pentecostal, Church of God, Assembly of God, whoever says that, that we've had the Holy Ghost since Acts chapter 1,
right,
and we're not afraid of Him. We love Him.
Right.
He's as much God as the Father is, and as much God as the Son is. And the Scriptures declared about Him right there that you do things through the power of the Holy Ghost. And as we look at Holy Ghost power tonight, now that everybody's offended and turned off from the Facebook Live, you know why people get like that? They don't love the book. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I heard you say that this morning. I was hiding, but I heard it. And as I heard that, I thought about that. I thought, that's why people can't get nothing from God. They're not listening. This is how God speaks. And as we look at this, now let's go to the Lord in prayer as we learn about Holy Ghost power. Father, we love you tonight.
Yes.
We thank you, God, for how you've saved us, Lord God, and set us apart for your service. And Lord, you justified us when you rose the third day. And God, you're seated at the right hand of your Father today, Lord, and we're waiting on you to come. And Lord, and if you come during this message, I have not a thing I'm worried about leaving behind, Lord. I pray you'd come even now. And Lord, tonight while we're here, Lord, in case you do leave us here, I pray, God, for your understanding in the Scriptures. According to Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And I pray, God, you'd help me to preach tonight, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, being said in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And Lord, we thank you in advance for everything you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
As we look tonight and we see this about Holy Ghost power, the words power and Holy Ghost appear together in verses in the Bible six times. We're going to look at five of them tonight. The one time where it hasn't to do with the right thing is in the book of Acts, when Simon asked that he saw that power, it was given at the whole, after the disciples put their hands on people, and he tried to buy that. And that's not how that's done.
Right.
You can't buy God's favor.
Right.
You can't, listen, you can't invest in God's money and bribe some TV evangelist with money to get God's favor,
right,
by the way. But we look at how God does things, and this is how God speaks, so we want to look at the announcements in God's book concerning the Holy Ghost and power. Number one, look over at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. The first time this phrase, or not a phrase, but the two words occur together in the same verse in the Bible, you'll notice is Luke chapter 1, down at verse number 35. Mary's asked this angel, she said, how shall this being say, I knowing not a man? And it's what the angel says to her in verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now you see, the number one announcement right there with Holy Ghost and power is God's Son is announced. Did you know that she asked, how can these things be? And he told her exactly how it's going to happen. Holy Ghost and power. That's how God done that. There's a very wicked cult that teaches God has sex with Mary to produce spiritual babies that are descendants of Jesus Christ. That's ungodly and it's blasphemous. God never touched her in that way and hadn't yet. Here's the crazy thing. It just told you there, it said, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, therefore that holy thing. Now, all the Bible correctors are quick to rush to that and say, well, see there, that's not blah, blah, blah. They don't know what they're talking about. See, listen, he said, when he said the Son of God, that's a person. But he said that holy thing, he is referring to him as the Lamb.
Yeah.
Little Bible reading to clear up a whole lot of mess.
Yeah.
And listen to this. If there's a Greek text in this world that don't say thing, it's the wrong Greek text.
Right.
How about that? See, I told you them people don't study this stuff. I told you that last week. And the proof in the pudding. Because what they bring out always tries to correct the Bible in front of you and the Bible they have. They never seem to find a perfect Bible. They can say it's the perfect Bible, though. Even though God said He's going to leave one here for us, they said we can't find it. I just wonder this. How do you, in fact, believe that God saves sinners, except you read it in a book somewhere, and that God keeps sinners, except you read it in His book?
Right.
And if it's not like that in your book, you got the wrong book.
Right.
Now notice this. We see that the holy thing is there to represent the Son of God and the sacrifice, God as a lamb and God as a man. How about that? Do you know in Genesis chapter 22, you see Abraham walking with Isaac, his son. He's got the wood for the sacrifice, but he has no sacrifice, and Isaac catches on to this thing and says, "Father, I see we got everything but the lamb." And Abraham makes a dual prophetic statement. God will provide Himself a lamb. Here's the dual part. He knew when they got up the top of that hill some way or another, God's going to provide a lamb and not take Isaac. He knew that. But also saying God will provide, and in capital letters, Himself, capital H, Himself, a lamb, that lets me know who the lamb is going to be. That's going to be the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in Mark chapter 1, behold, the Lamb of God was taken away the sin of the world. There He is, God provided Himself as a lamb.
Yep.
Just like Abraham said over there. If you're ever dealing with a Jewish person and they are versed in Jewish scripture, give them that one and show them who the Lamb is. They cannot deny that thing. Notice this one. We got announcements, listen, concerning the Holy Ghost and power. Number one announcement is God's Son is announced. Number two, if you look over in Acts chapter 1, God's strategy is announced. Have you ever heard that thing where there's nothing hidden that it shall not be revealed? God never hid nothing from people. You know you're dealing with a cult when you get inside and find out they believe Jesus and Satan are brothers. It's a secret teaching. You can't handle the truth till you get in type thing. That's a lie.
Right.
You know who said that? Jesus Christ. He said, "In secret have I said nothing."
Right.
All His teachings are public. They're open. There's nothing kooky or crazy about it. It's right there in Scripture. And if you look in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, He's telling His men right before He sends into heaven, 500 witnesses there. He says this, "But ye shall receive power," there's power, "after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." What He said, it have power in the Holy Ghost when the Holy Ghost come. Now there's this. God's strategy is announced, and God intends us to be working for Him with two things. His power and His person. God is not interested in you figuring out how to do anything. But He is interested in you letting Him do it and putting His power to it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who go to certain areas of this world. The gospel's not been over-proclaimed there. And God sends them there. And the power of that message through the Holy Ghost and the person of God there, the missionary simply has an easy task, and that's getting up every day and preaching. Until the devil figures out he's losing people. Then persecution comes, and then we find out what we really believe at that point. And it comes the same way in places where the gospel's been overburdened at, just like it was in Jeremiah's day. Are you willing to go out and stand and tell what God says? Well, if you've got the person of God walking with you and you've got the power of God on you, it's no problem. You don't care who comes up and says, "We don't like your preaching," after you preach. You can give a flip less because you know you're walking with Jesus. God's strategy is announced. He's not hid this thing. Listen, He tells us just permanently right there, He said, "Ye shall." But there's two catches, the power of the Holy Ghost, and you've got to have God's plan to go along with that. God's strategy is announced, not hidden. And listen to this. For all these people that will tell you, "Well, I feel like I've been saved, and I don't go out and do all this crazy talking, and Jesus talking all this," why don't you go out and do that? I know some would like to say, "Well, I've never been endued with power of the baptism of the Holy Ghost." I'm sorry, but you got that when you're saved.
Right.
I mean, at the very second God saved you, you got baptized into the body of Christ, and guess who done the baptizing? The Lord did. He didn't wait till you got in some baptistry or till you had some feeling. He done it right away.
Amen.
And when he done it right away, he said, you shall receive power, to these men that a new thing was going to be doing, that God was going to be doing. Up to this point, things were a little bit different than they were after this point. But after this point, it's where you and I are in Scripture right now. There was a fellow told me one time, and this goes to show you how big a meathead some preachers are. I'm trying to teach about witnessing in the Bible Institute, and this guy tells me, well, I just go where I'm led. Why ain't you led all the time? Why ain't you led all the time? God said get the message out there. He didn't put no prerequisites on it. He didn't say to you, fell a yearning or fell a goosebumps, crawl up on your arm and your spine. He said, you shall be witnesses unto me. After what? After the Holy Ghost come upon thee. Well, it depends on where I'm at and where I witness. Well, he gave you all four parts of the earth right there.
Yeah.
In Jerusalem, that's where they're at. In Judea is where they're from. In Samaria is where they don't like to go. And the uttermost parts is everywhere else. You are one of them spots right now for somebody. And as we look at that thing, why don't you feel led to do it? I'll tell you why. Because you're lying through your teeth and you're lying to God, not me. You tell me why a missionary goes on deputation 5 years and never feels led to hand out a gospel tract until he gets on the field. You tell me that. Every good mission board and every mission director and every pastor and missionary I've talked to that's full of the Lord and full of the Holy Ghost and loves God wants to do God's work where they're standing, no matter where that is.
Right.
Even if it costs you getting run off somewhere, you're willing to do it. He says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come on you and ye shall be witnesses. When you get saved, you get that. Did you get it? See, that's God's announcement, not mine. I'm just echoing the announcement from the book right there, and that's what it says. Now notice this, you got these announcements. You got God's Son is announced, God's strategy is announced, and if you look over Acts chapter 10, verse 38, you'll see God's strength is announced. Our God is a strong God. He's got all the strength of the universe behind Him. He's the one that's able to get people where they need to be to do things that He wants them to do. And in Acts chapter 10, you got Peter preaching to the Gentiles here, in particular Cornelius. And he says in verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Did you ever catch that when he's reading the Bible before? It says he anointed Jesus with that. Now listen, as you well know, Christ is our example. We're to walk in His steps. And His steps very plainly right there say this, that God the Father there anointed His Son with the Holy Ghost and with power. That wasn't for Jesus, that was for you. So you'd know what to do. Friend, did we get this? Like I said, it's at salvation we got the Holy Ghost. We was baptized into the body of Christ, into the Holy Ghost of God. We're in Christ, we're part of the body. But listen to this, that's God's strength He's just showing you. If Christ came not of His own power, never did that. He could have and didn't. He was giving us an example. He even told there at the cross He could call all them legions, but He didn't do that. Listen to me. He rose from the dead not of His own power. That was of the Father's power. When did all this happen? When He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. For 30 years, He walked on this planet and could have done anything and didn't. Can you imagine if Jesus would have came out and the first words He learned was, come here and I'll heal you as a baby? Not that He would learn them, but start speaking them. And can you imagine how these faith healers would be trembling in their shoes if that was in the Bible? Do you know that's not in the Bible? Because Jesus did nothing prior to that 30th year as far as power went. Now watch. He said God anointed him with that thing, and this is what he did. He who went about doing good and healing all that were pressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now watch this. If you and I have anything about us at all, we know that there's a lot of people full of the devil right now. I mean, you go out to places, and they're telling you if you burn a certain racist flag, that you're going to jail for 20 years. But if you burn the American flag, it's okay. Can I tell you something? Can I tell you something? That's against the law to do that to that flag. We lack law enforcement. I ain't talking about the police. I'm talking about America as a whole. Listen, you get around some of these veterans that's been in Vietnam, Korea, and Iraq, and some of them places, don't go burning no flag in them, but they might wrap you with it and set it on fire. They died, some of their friends and relatives died for that flag. Aha. Uh-huh. Now listen to this. When these people come along and they're doing all this crazy stuff, you know what we need to do is like we did back in the 60s, roll out the National Guard and the Army, let them take care of them. Instead of letting them burn up cities.
That's right.
So I say I do a message. I don't know, but I like it, don't you? I'll save people like this.
Yeah.
That's lost people out doing all that destruction. It's lost.
That's right.
That's how lost people act.
Amen.
Listen to this. God's strategy and God's strength is in that person of Jesus Christ. And he did nothing until he's 30 years old. Not a thing. But when he started, listen to this. When they started recording this thing, he went about doing what? What's that word? Right there in verse?
Good.
Tell me, dear Christian, how is it you can go to the beer joint? Are you led of the Holy Ghost to do that? Not at all. Tell me, dear Christian, how is it you sip wine at night? Oh, it's in the Bible. You don't even know where it's at in the Bible. You think it's beside cleanliness and next to godliness. Christ went about doing good, and alcohol is never good. God never speaks one positive thing about alcohol in the Bible.
Amen.
In fact, he says, woe unto you if you even put the bottle to your neighbor's lips. Mm-hmm. Ask for the crowd that works where they sell it.
Right.
Bootleggers and whatnot.
Yeah.
Legalized bootleggers. Mm-hmm. We've let down our guard so much in America, and we've had so many deacons that's drunk and preachers that's drunk, and we won't even church somebody over that no more. Look at what the Bible says there. He went about doing good. He went about doing good. And what was that other thing there? And healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Tell me again about your faith healers and your healing. Please tell me how Oral Roberts visits the hospital. So did he ever visit the hospital? Right before he died, he did. He had a heart attack. He didn't say, call Benny Hinn to come help me. He went to the Baptist Hospital in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now, if you're a healer and your friends are healers, and I get sick, my friends are healers, I'm calling my buddy. This is plain common preaching right here. I'm calling my friend who can help me out. But they don't because they can't and they know the other crowd can't. It's all about the Benjamins. You just follow the money and you figure the thing out. What was it? Somebody said one time, they said, if this bunch could heal each other, why is the other guy wearing eyeglasses? Amen and amen. If they really had healing in their hands at all, they'd say, oh, dear friend, I sense and I see that people are wearing eyeglasses. You need a touch of your healing on them eyeglasses hands. And they'd call you up the front, bam, you'd get that hit in the top of the head and the glasses would come off and you'd see 20/20. They'd say, he can see again, but they don't do that. If they did, they'd have to get out a pair of eyebrows to see it. Practical stuff here now. That's not God's strength. You know why? Every time Jesus walked somebody needing it, he healed them. Are you listening to me? He healed them. He done such a good work, they didn't have to do it twice. He didn't have to stick her fingers in his ear and pop out and say, you hear good? And they said, no, let me do it again. He got them the first time. And listen to this. As we see him going about doing good, and he says he was healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Sometimes that oppression showed up in a light way and sometimes in a heavy way, but either way, he got rid of how it happened. That's God's strength. So how can we do that even today? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, Philippians 4:13. That's God's strength is doing it through Jesus right there. And by the way, there are no faith healers, but we still believe God does healing.
Amen.
And let me say this, he does it through Jesus Christ.
Right.
Still to this day. You got God's, look over Romans chapter 15 where we started tonight. We've got God's Son as one announcement. We've got God's strategy. He's announced that in Acts chapter 1. His strength in Acts chapter 10. We get over to Romans chapter 15 and his announcement. Here's God's Spirit. God's Spirit is announced. He says in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope." And he says he's going to do it this way: through the power of the Holy Ghost. God's Spirit is announced to be able to do this. It's stated very plainly, you're filled with hope and peace. When you get all poochy-lipped and you bottom-lip something dragged around like most Baptists do, and you're sitting there saying, "I don't know what I'm going to do because this, and this. Let me remind you that the same Spirit of God that convicted you of your sins and the same Spirit of God that converted you in salvation is this same Spirit right here that fills you with all. What was them two words there? Joy and peace.
Yep.
And it says it's in something. Believing. You and I are called born-again believers because we believe.
Right.
Not we believe half the book, we believe the whole book. And according to what he says right there, that in believing, he said that we're going to abound in hope, that you may abound in hope. If you are not in the Scriptures and taking in the good things of God and building your faith in Jesus Christ, rather than you're trying to build on something else, I have nothing against devotional books, and people think I do, but I don't. What I'm against is when you read the devotional book and don't read the book.
Right.
These devotional books that we put out and others put out, they got a daily Bible reading plan in them. They got scriptures to go with them. But if that's all you read, is that little one little page of something, you're going to starve to death and you won't be believing for long. Your tank will run out.
Right.
You'll be going, "Now, how am I going to do? Well, what am I going to do?" What are you going to do? I'm going to tell you, you're not going to do anything anyway.
Yeah.
You're like a Washington congressman. You know what you are? A talking head at that point. You say, "You think the Democrats like..." No, I think they're all like that.
Right.
I've heard about Ted Cruz, and I'm up here with Ted Cruz. He ain't done nothing but talk either.
Yep.
Well, what about Trey Gowdy? Same thing. Tell me what they've done. I'll give you an hour to go get your Google out, and your mother-in-law too. Because she thinks he's cute. Let me tell you something. I'm not interested in what they're saying. I want to see what they're doing. And may God raise up a generation that'll start holding them accountable.
Yeah.
The one problem everybody keeps overlooking in this whole thing is term limits.
Yep. Right.
If all you had was 2 terms to get the job done, and you had to leave there, you'd get the job done. But usually after that second term, they make it a career, and they become millionaires somewhere around the 4th term, and they only paid a little over $100,000 a year.
Yep.
You figure it out. And listen, I have in the Constitution, the next amendment say this: 2 terms for everybody, plus you cannot become a lobbyist after your 2nd term.
There you go.
Everybody remember Farm Aid, Willie Nelson and all them guys got there to raise money for farmers? Not a dime went to farmers. And to that organization, if it's still going today, they've never given a dime to farmers. It goes to lobbyists that go to Congress to tell them guys how to vote.
How about that?
I know your favorite band performed that. That's why I'm telling you that. See, when I said Willie Nelson, half of you got mad. It don't bother me at all. Listen to me very carefully. He said he's going to do this thing, peace in believing, that ye may abound in that thing right there, in hope. Listen, if you believe your gospel hymnal and your Bible together, you'll sing, "Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and righteousness." It's when we start building hope in other things, we get all distracted by it. That's when you start hearing the talking heads and say, "Man, that guy's going to do something." We'll spend 10 years and 2 terms. He ain't done nothing yet.
Yep.
You know, it's Women's Month. You know, they've had that. Everybody's got a month of straight white males, by the way. And the women's mother tells all these things. You know, a woman congressman does. She just talks twice as much as a man. It's the same difference. I know you women ain't going to shout because you just talk as much for the service you couldn't hear the other lady talking to you. If I'm blasting these men, you say amen. If I'm blasting you, you say amen. I'm equal opportunity here. It's like a guy came up and said one time, says, "You white people," he said, "you think all white people..." Said, no, "you got it wrong. I think all 95% of white people are bad too." You believe that? You must. God called you to witness to them. You must think something about them. Now watch this. You got the announcement God's Spirit's announced, and look up 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Oh, this is about the Holy Ghost in power, not the Holy Ghost in opinion. Not the Holy Ghost, let me tell you what happened to me. It's from the Bible. Simple announcement. We had God's Son announced in Luke chapter 1. We had God's strategy in Acts chapter 1, His strength in Acts chapter 10, Spirit in Romans chapter 15. You get down to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, and you find out why this is a very excellent church, how they were a great example to others. Verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but it says also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. See, God's Scripture is announced, and it's announced in power and in the Holy Ghost. See, I've had people try to make statements like, well, that Bible's nothing but print and paper and leather. Oh, it's so much more than that. It's so much more. Because you give this book out, you'll find out where the devil is, where God is in both places. There was a man who was a chaplain of Mary Black Hospital. Myself, Brother Carter, and Brother Billy Pickle and Packlet gave out tracts to the hospital. We all got letters in the mail from a chaplain stating, don't ever do that again. I thought, well, I called and said, see if I was the only one, and found out I wasn't. And we all got together and prayed that the Lord would take care of that. Within 3 months, that guy died on a motorcycle. And I don't think it's because he's on a motorcycle. I think it's because he attacked this book. You tell me, what's a chaplain doing going against gospel tracts? And why would they be worried about that? See, it goes like this. I've had people tell me, now they don't tell me this now, brother, I'm older now, but when I was younger, I was a 25-year-old preacher starting down here. Oh, you should go to the army and be a chaplain. You should be in the military and be a chaplain. I called and checked on that deal. You know what they want you to be in the army as a chaplain and all that stuff? This is why God calls missionaries that outfit and don't put these offices. You've got to be able to give a Jewish and a Protestant and a Catholic service to whoever wants them. And you can't say nothing bad about those other two if you're dealing with the one. Even if they point blank ask you, or you will get court-martialed out of the military as a chaplain. Now, how about that? Imagine you got a Bible and God calls you to preach and you walk in there and they say, you can't use that here. Because that'll offend the Jew if you preach out of the New Testament. Or your Bible don't have the Apocrypha, that'll offend the Catholic. Can't do that. May God help us. We got preachers just bragging they was chaplains in these outfits. They've been around here for years. He's a chaplain of some business. He's a chaplain of this. You better watch what you the chaplain of. You better ask yourself a question. If God's put you in that place, why are there 1,500 military missionaries I've met since 1996? Why'd God call them if he's already got men there? Or is he having to send men in there? See, there's a difference about the thing, because it comes, it says, not in word only. Here's the difference. But in power and in the Holy Ghost. They're not afraid of you. They're afraid of that right there. Because you come in with that, they know there's going to be a problem. There's a drug dealer up in a state I preach in, and the whole town is overrun with meth, heroin, and cocaine. And in that town, you can drive down the road and look in the on the side of the curb, about every 10 feet or 15 feet, sometimes you see needles, drug paraphernalia. One of the churches I preach in, there's a heroin dealer right across the road. One day the pastor of that church went out and started witnessing in those drug-infested neighborhoods, and he was met by the head drug dealer of the whole thing. He said, if you don't get out of this neighborhood, I will kill you. He said, why would you want to kill me? He said, because I know what you do works, and I'll be losing customers. They know. They know. But listen, Paul didn't say we ran from Thessalonica in word and power. See, what you do is you stay put and keep doing what God's called you to do. Not long after that little incident right there, a certain gang, motorcycle gang's former member was in that church and died. That pastor's preached the funeral. Before the funeral got there, he heard the thunder come in. All the windows in the church outside rattling and everything else. 25 guys come marching there, 2 years old, hitting the floor. I preached one like that in Gaffney. I've never seen grown men cry like when they come in. They felt a genuine loss. Most churches, you go into a funeral, the widows don't even cry for their husbands sometimes. And I don't get that. But they come in, they're all sitting there, and, you know, the preacher's preaching. He said, the harder I preach, the more tears that flow from them. He said, I've never seen nothing like it. He said, we got through at the graveside, and look what the head guy come up to him and said, can I talk to you a minute? And he thought, boy, they're going to kill me now. He said, I want you to do me a favor, preacher, and go back over to that neighborhood. There's a guy waiting on you to apologize to you, and if he don't, you let me know. You just keep on going for God. He'll use you in power, word, and Holy Ghost, and much assurance. Yeah. Does your Bible say that? Not half assurance, not temporary assurance, much assurance. How does that come? Through the word, through the Holy Ghost, and power.
Right.
Here's the announcements. God's scriptures announced.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the word does.
Right.
You know why they're worried about them gospel tracts? They got the word in them. You know why they let Jehoiakim's wickedness put their stuff out? Because they know that's a bunch of junk. You know why people come up and says, close your Bible, let me tell you what I believe? Because they know this book works.
Yep.
You know why people mess around and say, well, I don't know what God says. I'm about to get a commentary to figure it out. No, you got to have the Holy Ghost and power and much assurance to figure this thing out. The author is responsible for the content, and he'll tell you. There are some things in the Bible so difficult and that God hadn't showed you yet. When He wants you to have it, you'll have it. It'll be so simple you can't miss it. There's things in the Scripture right now that a lot of folks have lost track on because they've lost track of their time with God. All you got to do is go back to these announcements and realize God put all these things for one thing, is so He can use you, not so you can use Him. I've watched people in this area for years. They seemingly can't do anything for God. And then one day they've got nothing left and then they can do something for God. You know the problem of that? The Lord did. He'll take everything away from you to get your attention. Anything that He's wanting to do with you, if He can't get your attention, He would remove all them things so all that's left you and Jesus. But I found out something. That's the best place to be. You don't have to worry about things. Somebody asked me the question, said, what would you get out of your house if your house was on fire? I said, my wife and kids. They said, no, besides that, I said, I have no treasure there other than them. And if God took them, He needed them more than I did. Are you listening to me? You got to walk with God and depend on Him for this stuff. You can't have a bunch of possessions. Oh, I got to get my picture albums. What if you can't? You can get them and leave your kids there? Well, I got to get my shotgun. You know, that's granddaddy's shotgun. Well, bless your heart, that's nice, but you'll leave your wife there and take the shotgun. And don't answer that right in public, okay? But in all seriousness, though, what do you take, your possessions or the things that God gives you like that?
Right.
There was a fireman come to me and showed me something. And later, Brother Harden showed me the same thing. There was a time we went over to Brother Hyatt's church to give Brother Harden a 70th birthday party. And I got him and his wife matching red Scofield Bibles. It wasn't her birthday, but I liked her, boy. She's great. She's sharp, man. I like to see she go, Albert! And he'd, yes, ma'am. Toughest guy in the world. Yes, ma'am, you know. The night his house caught on fire, she went to be in glory. He said, when I walked in there in the house, I saw it sitting over there. All that stuff burned up around it. There was her Bible. He said, I've never seen nothing like that. Don't take my word for it. Ask any fireman you know. There'll be a Bible sitting there, like barely even ash on it or smoke. Listen, that's where God's announcements come from. And He left the speaker on while there's a fire on. He wants people to know. You can still trust Him. You can trust him to keep this planet held together for just the right place. You can trust him to keep your salvation intact through the person of Jesus Christ. And you can trust his word that's settled in heaven and found here on earth. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.